Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. It's our first episode after our birthday episode.
Yes.
I feel older. Do you feel older?
I do.
I think we can buy beer now, right?
Yeah. We're this show is getting a little gray.
Yes, exactly.
So we got a full show. I'm Dan Fernandez.
Brian Keller.
And this week we got Windows 7 Taskbar APIs. We got the art of debugging. Mm. And we got some WPF love. And what else?
And the world may be ending today, Friday the 13th.
Yes.
But first, our top story.
Yeah, so our top... Let's just ignore that and talk about Moonlight.
That's right. So Moonlight has officially, version 1.0 has officially gone live. So congratulations to Miguel de Casa and the other people that work on this project.
And what is Moonlight for people that don't know?
So Moonlight basically is an implementation of Silverlight, but running on Linux, Unix, what have you. So now you can go check out all the same great Silverlight applications that that the rest of the world does running on a Linux or Unix.
Yeah, I think the other cool part about Moonlight is they have a bunch of media transcoding libraries to actually do streaming, and all that's open source. You could actually play, if you're just interested in, say, having a great media pipeline,
right.
All that code's available for you, and Miguel talks about that stuff.
So that way you can play all the same WMV content that Silverlight players on Windows can play?
Yeah, like anything you need a content pipeline for, right? So maybe you're doing editing, merging, whatever you need to do. A lot of the same things FFmpeg does, for example, is in there.
Gotcha.
Very cool. And transcoding.
And hold on.
Huh? Their
logo looks remarkably like the Barack Obama logo.
Yes.
Did you happen to notice that?
I think that may be because they were the Moonlight team worked on streaming the inauguration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. That was a crazy project they got off, but people were able to stream. So if you had Unix, you could use Moonlight and watch the inauguration.
Very cool.
Yeah, so congrats to the team.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, this is cool. This is a set of API samples for the Windows 7 taskbar. Now, if you can see at the very top of the screen, you see a couple of different changes, yellow, red, green, in a taskbar icon.
Okay.
What that is, allows you to do taskbar overlays. So you want to have something like a quick status, maybe a disconnect or reconnect icon. It shows you how to do that using Windows 7. Next thing is web browser. Everybody that's used Windows 7 has seen you can have multiple windows and multiple preview thumbnails to get a sneak peek of your application. This shows you how to implement that. Then the last thing is what's called jump list, where you can actually have sort of like the quick and handy things where you right-click on an application, you see these tasks. This is how to implement it. So great samples for people that really want to take advantage of Windows 7 Taskbar's API.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, easy.
And so this is another one from NBD Tech Blog. So this is your WPF data binding cheat sheet. So if you're wondering what properties you want to data bind in order to have certain effects, then this is just a cheat sheet that they're going to keep up to date at this location.
Yeah.
So another nice thing to print out.
Yeah, I think this is really convenient when it's like, okay, I have this data binding and I have this XML and I want to get to specific root nodes and how do I do a path to that specific item so I can just see the name of the book, even though it might be nested multiple levels deep. So this is like I'm either going to do this manually, just try and do a couple of XPath statements, or you can actually see examples here. So takes the work out of it for you.
Exactly. And I'm all about taking the work out.
Indeed. So speaking of this is Rudy Grobler. He's released an update to the WPF themes project. So this is a project on CodePlex, and it's a series of WPF themes. So you have a regular WPF application. Mm-hmm. You want to have sort of these nice, cool, glossy buttons, or you want to have sort of more a bubble effect. You can easily choose these theme files and just add them into your project.
Nice.
Now they're adding more. Some of these are actually from the Silverlight toolkit, and they're adding more skins for more controls. So previously, like, only some skins had some controls. They've been adding more so that you you wouldn't have a drop-down that had something and then a calendar that wouldn't, right?
Okay.
So they're doing a lot of that stuff. So this is just really great, handy, making your WPF applications that much prettier.
Nice.
Easily, too.
Nice. And then you can swap out the themes and whatnot.
Yeah, so everything's customized.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this is Bruno Turcali, and I'm sorry, Bruno, if I've botched your name. Greg Duncan posted about this. It's a 10-part series on the art of debugging. And so this is really cool, actually. If you take a look at this screenshot, it's just pointing out that, let's say that you're debugging and you want to, you've got a for loop that goes through 100 different iterations, x equals 1 to 100, and you want to try and figure out where a value might be going wrong. Well, one way to do it would be to step through every single increment, and then you're looking at the code 100 times. times, right? Well, this is just a nice little trick that you can do that you can say only break when x is divisible by 3. And so that way you've just cut the number of times that you have to take a look at the code into 3, and then you can kind of set some boundaries and say, okay, well, I know it's crashing between iterations 61 and 64. So boom, I've just quickly narrowed in on my problem there. Actually, that's not divisible by 3, so between 60 and 63. But it's just these little things that you forget that Visual Studio can do for you when you're going through and debugging your application.
Yeah, I think the amount of debugging features is kind of like an iceberg. A lot of people will set breakpoints, but they don't know about this feature, which is conditional breakpoints. Like, you know, only break at when this condition is met, multiples of 3, you know, when the counter hits 1,000 or whatever, or trace points. And this goes through the 10-part series on the basics. And the best part is, I mean, this is all just graphical, right?
Right.
I mean, if you are familiar with code, you'll instantly see, hey, there's a screenshot of this feature, and it goes through step by step.
Right.
So I love this.
And this is all going to get better once we ship the historical debugger in Visual Studio Team System 2010, because then you'll be able to go back in, like, literally rewind back in time and say, oh, okay, I can see where that registry value changed, or that counter's, you know, going past the end of my array bounds or whatever. Mm-hmm. So very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, it gets into the most advanced stuff, too, right? So, like, debugging multiple threads, looking for object IDs, like, a lot of hardcore stuff as well. So,
right.
Definitely check that out. So another thing is, this is the web development tools. Talked about the changes we're making with Visual Studio 2010 and the .NET framework, and IIS, I should say, where we're now using what's called MS Deploy.
I love this.
Yes.
This is awesome.
So the idea is I have an ASP.NET application. Mm-hmm. It has a number of things that are in the package that include
your database file, your IIS settings, your
any resource files, images, JavaScript, registry key settings, GAC utilities that you need to put in the global assembly cache, GAC, right?
Yep.
All that stuff can be done automatically and deployed as one unit. So this goes through all the stuff that they're doing for web packaging to make that really, really easy. And this includes even the SQL scripts, I think you had said before.
Mm-hmm.
And even something, let's see if I get this right, XML document transform for your web.config file. So, you know, I can imagine having a debugging, staging, production. I actually want to transform, and by that I mean change, the path to the server. Between those, so I'm not trying to hit a debugging database when I'm on, say, the staging database.
Okay,
it allows you to do that by setting sort of like the diff,
right,
if you will, between when this stuff changes.
So I've got my development server up. I'm ready to stage that. I just use this XML transform and it moves it over to staging and then moves it over to production when I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. What people would normally do is they'd have a web config file, copy it over, and then manually change it. Now you can sort of automate that and actually have a transform based on what data needs to change. So this machine do that, et cetera.
Hotness. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is very cool stuff. So check out the full post as well.
Nice. History of Microsoft.
Yes.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, so this is a new series started by Tina.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool part is she goes through, we have what's called MS Archives, and it's just this collection of everything about Microsoft. So she started digging in there and was like, wow, this is awesome stuff. The world, you know, a number of this stuff, footage has never been shown before.
Wow.
Like, why don't we put this out and so people can see. So this is the second part of the video, or this is the second release, which is 1976.
Mm.
So this is when Microsoft got incorporated. This is when we hired our first Microsoft employee, Mark McDonald.
Right.
This is goes through the first Microsoft advertising, which is hilarious. So you get to see a screenshot of that.
Does it suck as bad as our current advertising?
If you like camp, it's great.
Okay.
I mean, it even talks about the things going on in the industry at the time, you know, with Wozniak and Jobs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff, and I love this stuff, hearing about the history.
Steve Wozniak's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know. I don't really know what to do about that.
I think he's going to be zipping around a Segway or something.
Yeah, actually, I've seen him play Segway polo.
Yeah.
And because he can afford multiple Segways, he's not afraid to just charge in.
I love that guy, though. He's hilarious. He carries a wad of $2 bills with him. So that he pays with those. He's just eccentric like that. I love it. But so this is footage that's more recent. So this is, I think, Bill in 1994, somewhere around there,
yes,
reflecting on the early days of the company.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff within there, too, right? So it's not just footage from 1994, but you get to see a lot of this stuff. If you're interested in Microsoft's history, where we came from,
this is
everything you want to know.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's really industry history, if you think about it. It's not just Microsoft. I mean, it's so much stuff happening back then.
Yeah, so it's a treat to watch.
Yeah.
So one thing that we missed, because we actually shipped our recorded our 1 year anniversary a little earlier, was Jamie's awesome posts on redesigning Microsoft logos. So this is from the coffee house, and you can see he has the Channel 9 guide to the Microsoft logo. Developers. or the Win 7. Your ears would hurt too if you've been listening to feedback for 2 years. So I love this. Kudos to Jamie.
Yeah, this stuff rocks.
Yeah, love it. And shameless self-promotion time.
That's right, yeah. It's that time of the week. So Smashing Magazine ran a story talking about, what was the rest of the story? It was basically like how
10 harsh truths about corporate websites, about, you know, things that you're blowing money on.
Right. So things that companies are doing right and wrong.
Yes.
So taking a look at that. And luckily we fell under the things we're doing right to change.
Yes. And, Channel 9.
Channel 9, yeah. So basically like just really informal, having conversation, zero budget. I mean, this guy, look at that.
Well, it's person to person too, right? So it's not like don't think you need to add, you know, your
PR and marketing
sneaker brand to Twitter.
Right.
Like it should be the individuals.
Right.
And you know, focus on the people. So, and a screenshot of us got on there.
That's right.
And I think you
are. I don't know what I'm doing. But
you're rapping and I'm praying, which is, I think, what we normally do.
Praying that I'll stop rapping.
Yes. That's probably it.
Yeah.
And speaking of more shameless self-promotion, this is Scott Hanselman put together his list of .NET podcasts.
Yeah, thanks to Scott. We made the list, and we're in great company. So if you're looking for more podcasts to add to your list, this is a really nice list.
He calls this kind of the Daily Show for Microsoft Developer Geeks.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll take that as a... Yeah. and actually, Brian Peek and I were on with... guest starred at the .NET Rocks audio cast a couple weeks
and
ago.
And they says they've had 418 episodes, so they finally got to you guys.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, who else can we call? These jokers put together Coding for Fun book.
Let's,
so cool stuff, but definitely check out the list.
For sure.
Mixtape 10K Challenge. So
yeah, that's right. So Mix 10K Challenge, this is something that Adam Kenny and Amy Conklin and Sean are working on. So the submission period is over, but now that means that the voting period is in full swing. So basically the idea was that you could build a WPF or Silverlight application using just 10K of code and graphics and stuff. And, you know, I have to be honest, I was a little bit skeptical about what people would be able to put together in just 10K. But if you go take a look at the samples, and you can run, I think you can run all of them online. A couple of them are like click once deployment apps, but they're really cool. Like there's this I don't see it on this list, but there was this this game where you had to push these blocks around to trap Osama bin Laden, and I played that for like 10 minutes and I still didn't get him, but there's some really cool things that that some people have come up with. So definitely take some time, look through the gallery, and vote for your favorite examples.
Yeah, so the cool part is the community voting, and there's some games that have like, you know, 400 votes, so it's pretty cool to see that.
Right, and if you didn't make it in to submit a contest entry for 10K, you still have time to submit for Show Off,
yes.
That's right. So Show Off, we're doing it again at Mix. You do not have to be present. I think a lot of people don't realize that. You don't have to be going to Mix in order to submit for Show Off. Of course, we'd love to have you there. But if you've built something really cool, in fact, the winning entry last year from PDC was from Martin Woodward over in the UK, and he didn't actually go to PDC.
So let's talk about Show Off for people that don't know. So it's a contest. You submit a video for 3 minutes using some Microsoft technology.
Right. So we don't put a lot of constraints on it, which I think is what's cool. So we've had everything from, what's an example? Little robotics, you know, that people put together, to just innovative applications. One guy at Mix last year did a really touching example of how you could use a WPF application to capture memories. And then he takes those memories and he charts them over time, and he found that that his strongest memories actually happen in the summer period, which is a really cool observation.
So,
I mean, if you've done something cool, we're not looking for your marketing or of products that you might be selling or anything.
Good
That's
point.
Pretty much the only guideline. But as long as you've used some Microsoft technology and it's cool or touching in some way.
Submit a 3-minute video.
Yeah, definitely. So check out visitmix.com/WAC2009 and I forgot how to click on it. We'll put
it's
a link to it.
It's 2009.visitmix.com.
They're same. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. For those of us that actually have Valentine's Day plans.
And for those of us who don't have to blow $60 on flowers.
Yeah, there's the Microsoft Guide to Valentine's Day that Laura put together. So how you can use Microsoft technology to make it a very special day.
And I love this this charming picture of her in front of the fireplace.
Yeah, that's a dog she has.
Nice.
Okay, so picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Very exciting.
So this actually isn't my pick of the week.
There's your pick of the week.
So actually, we're filming on Thursday, but tomorrow is Friday the 13th. So
yes.
If the world's blown up, then you may not be watching this. Our apologies. What's happening? So Friday the 13th, 2009.
At 11:31 and 30 seconds.
That's right. So Unix time, also called POSIX time, also called Epoch time. The number of seconds, basically, is what this is, since January 1st, 1970, not including leap seconds, becomes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
I don't want to say sign of the apocalypse, but clearly those early system developers were trying to tell us something about what's going to happen on Friday.
Totally, yeah. Yeah. So, and I think the Mayan calendar runs out in 2012, so these guys are just a few years ahead of that.
Yeah, we would have messed that up. Yeah. So the question, I guess, is for our loyal readers, is what day will 9876543210 happen on?
Oh, that's a good
date
one.
And time.
Yeah, we're not going to be around to see it, but...
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
So this is Mark Heath wrote a Coding for Fun article.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Skype voice changer. What it does is connects up to Skype. They've released their APIs, and you can actually plug into their sound API. Mark's the guy who wrote the N-Audio CodePlex project.
Okay.
And he wrote a step-by-step article on how he wrote a Skype voice changer, so it'll actually mask your voice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. So what we're going to do is go to a clip of me talking to Clint over Skype and recording his screen with him audio, so you can actually hear his sound effects. So
all right,
let's go to the clip. All right, we are using Skype with Clint Rutkus. This is Dan Fernandez. And Clint, where are you?
I'm in St. Louis, actually, right now in my apartment.
So what we're going to do is use Mark Heath, who's written a new Coding for Fun article that's a Skype voice changer. And Clint, you have this running on your machine, and what I'm going to do is record the audio of you changing your voice on Skype, and we're going to have the video of you actually using the Skype voice changer on your local machine.
Yes, we will.
So let's see it in action.
Okay. So I already connected in. So I have Skype running, and then I click the Skype button to connect the two applications. But to change your audio, all you have to do is click the plus button, and a little window will pop up, and then you can select your effect. So right now, I'll use the tremolo effect. So this is the tremolo effect in action.
This is the delayed effect in action. This is the flange baby effect. This is the fast attack compressor 1,175. This is the delayed pong effect.
Delayed pong.
This is the super pitch effect.
This is the flanger effect. The cool thing is this application is built with MEF, MEF, so you can actually drop in new effects without having to restart the application. And every one of the effects, you can actually alter the, they have sliders, so you can alter different values on the fly. So some of the effects you might have heard where my voice wasn't changed, but if I altered the volume or the sliders, things would have happened.
Excellent. So, and the site for this is blogs.msdn.com, Coding for Fun. And the project page is codeplex.com/SkypeFX, SkypeFX.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's pretty cool.
dude, why is your voice messed up?
what are you talking about, man?
There's a dart in your neck.
You're crazy, man. I love you, but you're crazy.
All right. Well, that's been another episode of This Week on Channel 9. We'll see you next week.
You're crazy.